What can I do to keep you? I said, nothing. He was like willing to barter with me. And he was this hard ass, Scrooge type person. And he said, can I give you a piece of advice? I said, sure. Because I'm on my way out. And I think I'm potentially the only human being alive who ever saw this man vulnerable. He said, when I went through my first divorce, I realized that I was chasing the wrong thing, but it was too late for me. And don't let that happen to you.
Welcome to The Good Life. The Good Life is a show dedicated to your advancement in all of the areas in life that matter. Your money, your family, spirituality, your impact, influence. I want to help you get richer, happier, wiser, healthier, and ultimately to be able to lay your head down at night knowing that you are who you want to be, doing life with the people that matter. Thank you for investing your time into my content. I will do my best to make it a meaningful investment worthy of your time and attention. Here's the show.
I wake up one day, I'm making 30 grand a year from my day job and 12 grand a month on the side, 3 hours a week. And I was like, I have to quit. I love the company. I love real estate, but I got to get out of here. Because if I can do 12K a month on 3 hours a week, man, what could happen? So I meet with my, not the partner that got me into marketing, but the main founder. Very, very intelligent prick. His name was Kent Senior. And this dude's old as freaking Moses. Like, been doing this forever. In fact, side note, he had like a heart attack like a couple years ago or something crazy. He was in the hospital running rent rolls. Like one of those guys. Like he was like the I think the reason that you guys are here today to prevent becoming alike. I think that's the point of this event, if I'm not mistaken. And he was like, man, what can I do to keep you? I said, nothing. He was like willing to barter with me. And he was this hard ass, Scrooge type person. And he said, can I give you a piece of advice? I said, sure. Because I'm on my way out. And I think I'm potentially the only human being alive who ever saw this man vulnerable. He said, when I went through my first divorce, I realized that I was chasing the wrong thing, but it was too late for me. And don't let that happen to you. And then he said, get out of here. You're done. That was the only, like, the split second that I had, which cascaded a lot of different fears for me, because at that point, I started paying attention to the other people who were ahead of me and successful. It's like, man, 17 wives later, like, they've got, you know, kids from different marriages, and their lives are a wreck, but they're monetarily successful. I remember walking through the subdivision in Cordova, talking to my wife, saying like, everybody that I look up to that has more money than me, they lose this. They lose what we're doing. And I don't want to lose that. And I'm so terrified of losing that I would almost rather make less money. And my wife was like, it's a choice. And so anybody, are you guys all married? Mostly. If my wife was here today, she'd kick your ass. Like she's intense, but she's very screwed on. She's very she's been a huge part of what I've built, and she kind of helped me put the priorities together. And then I quit and I went off onto my own. And within about 6 months, I was clearing 30-40K a month. So I turned my annual income into my monthly income. Another 6 months after that, we're 120 grand a month, and a year after that, $1 million a month. Last year, we were up into the $90 million territory, and it's been growth season after growth season after growth season. And if I look back at everything that happens, you hit these different stages in your growth. You've probably felt that as well. Like the first thing you got to figure out is like, how do I afford food? Then you get into the next level where it's like you start focusing on asset accumulation, right, and protecting wealth and net worth. And then you get into the next stage, which is really about time. If I make $1 billion a year, but my daughter does not feel like I was present for her, then I lost. It's about time. And some people say that, you know, time is your greatest asset, but it's actually not. You want to know what your greatest asset is?
You.
Energy. Everything could be summed up into that. Assets are a byproduct of energy. Income is a byproduct of energy. Let me tell you this. What is time if you have no energy to savor it? Why have time if you can't, participate in it? Right? You want to know how I learned this?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's like either I've either put you guys into a trance or huh? All right. Whatever you say.
You said 90 million, everybody was like, okay, we believe it.
Trust me. I learned this. I learned the energy time competition differential in September of last year. This is a new learning lesson for me. One of the things that I got really good at was replacing myself. And I have a leadership team. We have six brands right now. There's a leadership team that oversees a lot of the efforts. There's a holdings company that owns real estate. There's a holdings company that owns services businesses. And it was about the end of last summer where I realized that I was actually completely unnecessary, like with everything. There's nothing for me to do. Sounds kind of cool. Except for it was a crisis. I had all of this time. And what did we talk about earlier? The reward is the what? Uh-huh. So what if you have nothing to do and you got all this money piling in? Bills can be paid for the next 30 years without even waking up in the morning. And there's no...
Hey, thanks for being a subscriber to the show. One of the things that we have committed to is we don't sell advertising. We don't bring in a bunch of sponsors to monetize it. And we don't really spend a lot of money promoting ourselves either. That's because we kind of believe that if the content is great and if the listener base is great and they care about the world, then they will share it with other people. It means that I am putting a substantial portion of the growth of this show in your hands and your responsibility. I love that you're here. I love that you're listening. But do me a favor. If this content has changed you or improved you or made you a better thinker, husband or wife or parent or business owner, do us a solid, pay it forward, share it with someone in your world that you care about. That is our number one way to grow this message and get it into the hands and ears of more people. Thanks for being you. Back to the show.
Humans are designed to get behind something heavy and push. If we're not able to do that, what's the point of living? You atrophy out. Everything stops working. Your central nervous system slows down. You can't think fast enough. And so my biggest target, this again and again and again and again and again. Like, I achieved something and it was the wrong thing. Just like circa 2011, it happened to me last year. I had achieved this target, which is complete removal of me, total passive income. Hey, yay, yay, like passive, passive, passive. I had nothing to do and therefore I had no purpose. And I realized that time is actually not the answer because I have all this time in the world, but I have no energy to savor it, and I'm losing my drive. Make sense? This is maybe only helpful for me. So we gotta make sure that we're paying attention to the areas that actually light us up. And so anyways, back to stages. Let me tell you about the stages real fast. There are four stages when it comes down to your actual wealth as a human being. Many people think that wealth, you see on the screen, Levels of Wealth, it's a new brand that we're building. Many people think wealth is all monetary. There's definitely monetary elements to it. Let me give you four stages: income, assets, time, and legacy. Income, assets, time, and legacy. And in parentheses, next to those numbers, you can put poor, rich, wealthy, and immortal. Income, assets, time, and legacy. And this is what I've noticed. These are the stages that a human must go through. The first focus in wealth is always on income. If you don't have your income dialed in, it's going to be very difficult for you to make a difference on anybody. Why? Huh? No tools.
The resource.
Yeah.
Somebody else. If you're
already. Yeah. No leverage. Yeah. What else? Survival mode. What else?
Can't fill someone else's cup until yours is there.
100%. All of those answers are correct. When it comes down to income, if you don't have enough to take care of you and your family, then you're never going to have the requisite bandwidth or energy to take care of someone else in their family. So as everything goes from the inside out, right? You said something earlier, it's like we're aligned on this. So we're talking about the same thing. We're just using different words to say it. The next is assets. Why are assets important? Leverage.
Security.
Stability. All right, we're gonna spend a bit of time talking about this one. We got less answers on this one. When you have income and you have surplus, what do you do with the surplus? You got to store it into
assets.
There you go. Assets are the storage vehicles that really we can go into this as deep as you guys want to. But you know, your assets or your buckets, as we call them, do three things. They protect capital. They grow in value. And they pay a yield. So when you see people who are investing and they're writing books and they have free time to make a difference, usually there's either a lot of leverage that they have on their time, or they've got assets that are helping cover their investment into other things. The third area, time. Time is an asset, correct? Why is time important?
It's limited.
True.
You don't get it back.
True.
You can use it any way you want.
It's completely and totally, the utility of time is in and of itself that it can make anything possible. And so you can reinvest your time back into income. You can reinvest your time back into assets. You can invest your time into family. And then the final stage is legacy. And legacy is important because if you do something successfully, then there becomes a point where you have a moral obligation or responsibility to help somebody else do the same thing. I said this and I forget. Jake, do you remember the dead outnumber the living? What's the number? Is it 14?
14 to 1.
The dead outnumber the living 14 to 1. And that's a lot of dead people, first of all. But how many of you have mentors that you would consider you've learned a lot from that are no longer alive? Yeah. So the question is, when we're in a room 400 years from now, and somebody like me asks the question, how many of you have mentors that are no longer alive? Who in the room thinks of your name? With me?
Yeah. Painful.
If you have nothing, then you live and you die, and you start with nothing and you end with nothing. But it's important that you focus while you're here on the things that are going to outlive and outlast you. Okay? So those are the stages, and we can hop into it. The way that I discovered this was just through trial and error. Guess, anybody know how old I am?
28.
So who said 21?
28.
Oh, 28? That's fine. It's good for me. I'll be 33 in 3 weeks. Huh?
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. You guys can all come out to the house. We'll hang out. And so I have, you know, 100 years ahead of me. I don't know if you guys are into biotech or anything like that. We go out every year. We go out to this clinic in California, and they do 7 hours of tests, full like genome sequencing, bone marrow, like blood. There's 26 blood tests, which is a lot. You're like about to pass out afterwards. And the reason that we do it is because there's technology that's, you're probably going to hit the scenes next 3 to 5 years. They're saying you won't need like liver transplants. They'll just grow your liver from when you were 19. Like why take somebody else's organ when you can just literally grow your own organ? It's like, that sounds pretty cool. Sign me up.
How many guys could use a new liver right now?
Yeah.
Not your 19-year-old liver, but your 11-12-year-old liver.
Yeah. So we go out every year, and they take the test, and they also can, you know, we're getting to the level scientifically where, you know, like, we're 150, 200, 250, 300 years, like, that could be possible in our lifetime based on the scientific advancement that we're seeing in biotech. But for me, when I think about time, it's like, man, if I could be productive for the next 100 years, you know, imagine the impact I can make on the world. What you hear when you listen to me say that is somebody who has advanced through the stages of wealth into the fourth stage of legacy, because you can tell what I'm focused on is actually others. And notice I didn't say, man, if I can be productive for 100 years, we get some freaking new cars. That's not what I said. What did I say? It's all about impact. At a certain point, you get to this fourth level, and everything you do becomes defined by what does it make other people feel, do, accomplish, achieve. What's the impact differential here between my personal investment of energy and time, and then the lift that happens in the world around me?